Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about a combination of two powerful therapies, hyperbaric oxygen and ketogenic diet. We're on the frontiers of innovative medicine because hyperbaric oxygen may be an important adjunct to the treatment of cancer along with ketogenic diet. And there are a group of researchers hot on the trail of this information, among whom today's guest, Dr. Dominic D'Agostino, is Associate Professor in the Department of Molecular Pharmacology and Physiology at the University of South Florida. So, Dr. D'Agostino, tell us a little bit about how you came upon. Actually, there's a group of doctors now who are interested in looking at ketogenic diet in relationship to cancer. Dr. Thomas Seyfried will be our guest, I believe, in a couple of weeks here, because he's actually one of the leading proponents of this approach for the treatment of certain resistant cancers. So how did you get involved with this research?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was studying, oxygen toxicity seizures for the Office of Navy Research, and we were looking at a variety of cell types in the hyperbaric chambers that we have in the lab. And we have microscopes inside the chambers, and we were observing some interesting phenomenon. We look at, everything from fibroblasts to smooth muscle to primary neurons. And we had a brain cancer cell line from a glioblastoma. And I saw that the cells were like exploding under high levels of oxygen. The mitochondria were. So we measure superoxide anion in the mitochondria, and we can visualize that. And what I observed was that the mitochondria would light up really, really, really bright, and they would start to burst under high levels of oxygen. And I had not seen that before in healthy neurons or muscle. Mm-hmm. And it was an indication that oxygen-induced overproduction of free radicals was damaging to these cancer cells. Their mitochondria were damaged in a way that when you push oxygen through them, they overproduce this superoxide anion. And that's a normal, free radicals are a normal part of cellular respiration. But when the mitochondria are not optimal in their electron flow, they overproduce this free radical. So I saw that as a way to exploit. Like, we can exploit that excess oxidative stress. And also in the process of studying different cell lines, we were growing them in different types of media. One included the supplementation of ketone bodies. And I knew that I saw that when we grew brain tumor cells in the presence of ketone bodies, we saw more dead cells in our cell culture, and it also, we saw less, higher proliferation rates. So that got me to go on PubMed to think, has anyone studied this before? And I stumbled across Thomas Seyfried's review article, Cancer as a Metabolic Disease. And I started reading about, cancer cells can't use ketones. They don't have the metabolic flexibility to adapt to it because they have damaged mitochondria. And the things that I was reading, the theories that he was kind of putting out there, is a bit of a rehashed theory from Otto Warburg, or very much in line with
early 20th
theory.
Century, right? It was a Nobel Prize winner from Germany in, I guess, was the teens or 20s, way back when.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the late 20s, and he got a Nobel Prize for his work on metabolism. And the few studies I did in the lab was supporting what he was saying, that cancer was a metabolic disease and it could be targeted with metabolic therapies. And I'm reading this and I'm realizing that this is far different than what mainstream cancer researchers are kind of advocating or studying. And I was like, if this is true, this has tremendous implications. And I realized that no one had actually put cancer cells inside a hyperbaric chamber and looked at their mitochondria, because we had some patented unique technologies in our lab to do this. So I knew I was the only one in the world that actually made these observations. So the next step was to find an animal model that was representative of the disease that we can study this in and use a ketogenic diet and treat the animals with hyperbaric oxygen. Mm-hmm. So we used a very aggressive model of metastatic cancer. And at the time that I wanted to do this, I actually took on my first graduate student. This is going back in 2009 and 2010. We started the experiments. And her project was the ketogenic diet and hyperbaric oxygen. And we got a little bit of, a tiny bit of departmental funding to fund it on a shoestring budget. And the first experiment.
By the way, this is so interesting because, you know, there is a multi-billion dollar moonshot program underway to cure cancer, and yet you were sort of laboring in the obscure basement of a laboratory. You're probably scrabbling to get a few dollars to subsidize the meager salary of a graduate student to supervise your lab rats. I could just picture it.
Yeah, we had a few thousand dollars to run an experiment. And in science, that's not a lot when you have to buy animals and pay salaries and things like that. So the first experiment was essentially, you know, putting these super aggressive cancer cells in the flank of the animal, and then we see very rapid systemic metastasis in this particular animal model that was developed by Thomas Seyfried and made the cover of the journal International Journal of Cancer, and they had a lot of confidence in the model, at least for, you know, using the most aggressive cancer form. And we had animals that were eating a standard high carbohydrate diet, which is standard rodent chow, like 60, maybe 70% carbs. And then we had another group of animals that were receiving the ketogenic diet and another group receiving the ketogenic diet and hyperbaric oxygen. And it was really interesting to see. I remember just kind of waking up early every day and going to the lab to see, you know, what state they were in. And, you know, 3 weeks into it, I think pretty much all the animals on the standard diet had succumbed to the tumor burden and had died. Whereas the animals that were on the ketogenic diet, I think nearly all of them except one had dropped out of the group of 10. So I'm basically looking at two groups of animals where, you know, one group, the tumors grew so rapidly on a high-carb diet, and the tumors, and a few of the animals in the ketogenic diet group, they had non-existent tumors. Like, you couldn't even see them, at least at the three-week point. They all succumbed to the tumors, like, later on, but it was so effective, and this model, various chemo drugs had been used in the model, and I realized at that point, that the 3 to 4 week mark, that we were going to, like, outperform some of the studies that were done with chemo agents, and I started getting really excited and, you know, talking to my students saying this could have some pretty significant, implications. So that was what really the genesis of this whole thing, making some observations, you know, in unique technologies that we developed for the military and transitioning that into a little pet project that was my first PhD student's project. And then that had just taken off. Like, now I got three PhD students, two of them really our presidential fellows, actually looking at ketogenic diet and hyperbaric oxygen, but we're also studying things like metformin and DCA and branched chain amino acids. We're trying to target the cachexia, the cancer wasting, on top of that, too.
Did you say metformin and DHA? DHA from fish oil or DHEA?
That's actually a component of some of the diet that we formulated, but dichloroacetate.
Oh, okay.
So DCA, it's an activator of, pyruvate dehydrogenase complex. It's a metabolic-based drug.
Okay. In other words, it revs the ketone formation.
It actually stimulates. So I talked about the mitochondria of cancer cells being somewhat defective, at least in highly aggressive cancers. And, you know, they kind of default back to glycolytic metabolism. So the DCA, it's not really well known how it works, but what we do know it does is it stimulates mitochondrial glucose oxidation further. And when you have cancer cells that have defective mitochondria and you hyperstimulate them with a drug, it triggers apoptosis and cell death. And that seems to be the mechanism of at least the general consensus through which the DCA works. And it also generates more free radicals in the cell by ramping up metabolism.
So do you see the diet and the hyperbaric oxygen as eventually becoming a standalone therapy for cancer, or is it just simply an adjunct to other targeted cancer therapies, chemo, radiation, and immunotherapy, or molecular biology, laser-like treatments?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the ketogenic diet enhances the anti-tumor effects of hyperbaric oxygen. And when hyperbaric oxygen is used alone, or at least in the studies that we've done, there's always a trend for increased survival, but the real benefits don't manifest itself until you combine it with the diet. We are envisioning kind of a more comprehensive metabolic based therapy where we have low toxicity kind of metabolic based drugs with the diet, with hyperbaric oxygen. And we think that in some cases that could be used to metabolically manage cancer. But we also think that it can further augment the therapeutic effects of standard of care, including, chemotherapy, immune-based therapy, and even radiation therapy. So, and it's important to note that the efficacy of radiation is proportional to the PO2 of the tumor, right? So when you radiate a tumor, it's efficacy is based on the oxygen content of that tumor. You're stripping off the electrons. So if you have a hypoxic tumor, if a tumor is growing very rapidly and it outstrips its blood supply, the core of that tumor is very low in oxygen. So the radiation is not really going to get to it. It's not going to do much to it. But if you hyperoxygenate and reverse the tumor hypoxia with hyperbaric oxygen, and you do that just prior to radiation, so the PO2 in the tumor will stay elevated for another hour or so, and the reactive oxygen species that are generated in that tumor from hyperbaric will stay elevated for quite some time. So if someone gets hyperbaric oxygen therapy just prior to radiation, it would be a way to sensitize tumor. And it's relatively selective, too, because the cancer cells will overproduce ROS relative to the healthy cells. So it's a way to
reactive oxygen species
pressure on it. Yes.
ROS, R-O-S, reactive oxygen
ROS,
species.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So, obviously, where we're going with this is, has this been tried in humans? Have people with very aggressive cancers been treated in this fashion, either officially or, people opting for the ketogenic diet with or without hyperbaric oxygen? And have there been at least anecdotal results, if not formal studies of this?
Yeah, there needs to be. There's not. The hyperbaric oxygen has been used for decades for radiation necrosis, and I've been going to the meetings.
That's to repair the damage, not to augment the benefits of the radiation, right?
Yes, that's correct. But then you talk to some of the physicians treating it, and they're saying, well, I know my patients are benefiting from this. I mean, we're using it to basically heal the wound or heal the radiation necrosis, but we're seeing some benefits from this. If you get on kind of like clinicaltrials.gov and you type in hyperbaric oxygen and cancer, you do see a number of clinical trials in progress, but none of them are combining hyperbaric oxygen with the ketogenic diet. Some of them are using it for kind of brain tumors, but none of them are combining it in the way that we did in our study. And that's a big, that's a big thrust for our lab to get this into the clinic as soon as possible. It just makes sense because a brain tumor, people with a glioblastoma, many of them have seizures anyway.
Right.
So putting them on a ketogenic diet makes perfect sense. Not only are you controlling the seizures, you have the capacity to do that, but you're also limiting, you're also reducing tumor growth. And the hyperbaric oxygen, one of the drawbacks that you have, potential drawbacks, is that you could have a seizure. But if you put patients that are receiving hyperbaric oxygen on a ketogenic diet, they would be far less likely to have the one side effect, that people are worried about hyperbaric oxygen, which would be oxygen toxicity seizure. So it would make sense to put everybody who has hyperbaric oxygen into a state of nutritional ketosis, mm-hmm. not only will it make it safer, it'll dramatically enhance mm-hmm. the efficacy, even wound healing. We know right. we did a project with wound healing. Being in ketosis enhances blood flow, and we mm-hmm. use a Doppler radar, a Doppler blood flow measurement to show like a 30% increase in blood flow to ischemic wounds when you transition the physiology into ketosis.
Wow, this is
really
exciting work. Let's pause for a moment on the cancer subject. When it comes to certain neurological problems, there's plausibility for both hyperbaric oxygen and ketogenic diet. For example, in dementia, in traumatic brain injury, as you mentioned, refractory seizure disorders. How about studies that look at that 1-2 punch for those conditions?
Yeah, that's something that we're working on, you know, writing grants all the time to get this work funded. And typically the funding agencies say, well, before we move this into humans, we need more animal studies, you know, more preclinical work to show efficacy, for example, traumatic brain injury or for these other disorders. So we're at the stage where we're pushing to do that. But in the meantime, you know, there's cancer patients that read the work that we do, and they implement nutritional ketosis and the ketogenic diet and have had pretty remarkable results. General feedback has been really good, but it's kind of all over the board with different types of cancers. And mm-hmm. the responses are kind of different, and some of them are using standard of care. And, you know, if they go into remission, you wonder, is it the standard of care
right.
working?
Or it's a mixed bag. Yeah.
Yeah, is it enhancing the standard of care? Mm-hmm. So we have not actually, the next study that we want to do is our non-toxic approaches, but also combining it with standard of care. And we think we can, you know, half or even take a quarter of the dose and increase the efficacy of standard of care without mm-hmm. using... Currently, they use the maximum tolerable dose instead of the minimum effective dose. And that just makes the cancer more aggressive when it comes back.
Exactly.
So there's different ways that, you know, you can implement these protocols and use much lower doses of some of the current drugs that are being used.
Mm-hmm. Are there resources for patients to turn to who want to implement a ketogenic diet? Or are there reliable websites that describe this diet can help with patients finding their way through it?
Yeah, I would recommend going to the Charlie Foundation is great. The Charlie mm-hmm. Foundation website was kind of developed by Jim Abrams, the son of, the father of Charlie Abrams. Who had drug-resistant seizures. And that there's a lot of information compiled on there on how to implement the diet for epilepsy, and now they changed their site to epilepsy and other disorders. And they work together pretty closely with other organizations, with Johns Hopkins University or the dietitians there and the neurologists there. So that's a good source of information. The ketogenicdietresource.com is pretty good. It's very good, actually. It's run by Ellen Davis, and there's a lot of links within that website that are very good. One of the books, I think it's in the fifth edition now, it's called The Ketogenic Diet for Epilepsy and Other Disorders, and that was written by neurologist Eric Kossoff, originally John Freeman, who started the Johns Hopkins Ketogenic Diet Program. And that's a book you can find on Amazon that's really good. I have a website, ketonutrition.org, and I've just compiled a lot of the books and a lot of the resources and websites. So if you go to ketonutrition.org, you'll find a lot of information there.
Well, excellent. That's an important resource for our listeners. So a very, very exciting podcast, because this is an area that I think is really on the frontiers of treatment of some disorders that we're having a lot of trouble with, coming to grips with neurological disorders, coming to grips with very, very refractory cancers, even dangerous glioblastomas, which, of course, are among the most notorious of cancers, where there may be hope for at least ameliorating patients' conditions, if not moving them towards a cure. So we're excited to hear from you, and we look forward to hearing future developments from you. Perhaps we'll revisit you as your research progresses, and we look forward also to having a conversation with your colleague. I'm sure you have great discussions with Dr. Thomas Seyfried, whose main thing, I guess, is the ketogenic diet, but I think through your influence, he's beginning to explore hyperbaric oxygen as an adjunct to ketogenic diet.
Yeah, that, and also ketone supplementation sort of we've developed, and that's kind of like the next frontier because it makes the diet much easier to follow and much more powerful in some ways. So we collaborate with him on those projects too.
Excellent. Very excited to hear from you. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Dominic D'Agostino. The website is ketonutrition.org. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.